I've talked about him before, but the guy, he just gets me fired up to see just how disciplined he is with following through with everything. And I said this to him on his last check-in, but his back is looking extremely lean. So he's doing great.
Amazing. All right. Who else wants to go? Chris, what's yours? What's your win?
I think it's only appropriate to address people who are on the call specifically. And Juan is new to the coaching program, and Juan is trying to get Speedo season ready. He didn't say that. I said that. But he's trying to get a little bit leaner. Juan, if you're good, could you unmute yourself and say the progress you've got so far in this short time period? Juan might also not have a super strong Wi-Fi connection where he is, so maybe I'll touch on him. Juan's been with us for about 2 weeks now. There he is, for 2 weeks now,
Yeah,
and
I'm in a really bad area, but I think we're down 6 pounds, and I feel good. Lower back pain is almost completely gone. I have a lot of movement in my knees, which I wasn't been able to do a lot before, so feeling good.
yeah, he's flying off to a good start. Happy to hear that.
All right. Amazing. And Chris, what about you personally? Anything that you want to report?
I did a powerlifting meet on the weekend, so I competed, which just means you exercise in front of people, and they stop and they stare at you, which is nicer than when you do it in the gym, because sometimes you just get on people's nerves if you take all the plates and you're loud. So that was fun. I'm a big fan of exercise, so as soon as the competition was over, I drove 4.5 hours, and then I participated in a road race for adults, also known as the beer mile. And I can say confidently, I've never been pregnant, but if you chug 4 beers under 8 minutes, it's probably as close to being pregnant as you can be, speaking as a man.
Oh dear.
Chris, are you a better power lifter or a beer drinker?
You know, it's a real shame, because I would have prided myself and said power lifter all the way, but I smoked everyone in that race. So.
That's crazy. All right, any other wins before we kind of get started? I know we're waiting. Let me just. How about Dom? Let's hear some wins from you. No. Let's see. Let's see if I can. Nope. Okay, maybe not. So, Chris, I would love to kind of start off just with some as we're waiting for some people to join, just for us to talk a little bit about what you're seeing. In the community, I know Ben had posted yesterday just asking, based on those four issues that people are having, how we can categorize them into one of four categories. And I saw a bunch of people commenting in there, and I would just love to hear what you take from that, what your, how you as a coach are changing up people's programming, or what you take from some of the responses that we were getting in that group.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just address, if everyone didn't read the Telegram message, Ben was talking about four areas specifically are people having trouble with: energy, physical capability, mindset, health. When we look at those areas there, when it comes to things like energy, most of us would say, I don't have the energy day to day. It's not too common I hear people say, I don't have the energy to get through my workouts. They just say I'm low energy throughout the day. In that scenario, one of the easiest ways is to address everything that leads to energy. So, for people on this call right now, if you fall into this category where sometimes you don't have energy throughout the day, what do you think is the reason for that? Can you identify something that you're like, oh, it's probably that for me? Or would you like to just take a guess that the average person would have, or they wouldn't have energy throughout the day? You can unmute yourself or you can type in the chat box. Poor sleep. Yeah, Russell, I would say 100%. For a lot of us here, we don't get quality sleep. Stress. Stress can manifest itself in many different ways. When we go to the gym, we get good stress. Everyone knows what that's called. That's called eustress. And when there's a negative impact on our lives, such as stress, it's known as distress. It's not good for our health.
So can I just chime in here for a second? So, hey, Chris, what's going on? So I just want to give some context on sleep and stress. So when you guys were teenagers and you didn't sleep and you had stress, did you lack energy? And I would assume most of you would say no. So it's actually not the sleep and the stress that's causing the absence of energy. It's the lack of resilience to stress that's causing the lack of energy. So as we age, sometimes our mitochondria can lose effectiveness. They can become sluggish. Our cells' ability to ultimately process hormones and DNA transcription can become diminished. So it's not actually a sleep problem. I've got a client right now who's 39 and is just crushing it in business, trains every day. And, you know, we're trying to get to sleep better, but he's like, man, I don't feel any different when I sleep 5 hours as compared to when I sleep eight. Yeah, it's just because you're a very healthy guy. There shouldn't be a difference. So yeah, I think we should have the ability to lose a few days of sleep and still have very high functioning bodies, provided we're super healthy. So I just want to give you guys some context. That should be a goal, right? And I think I'm there now. I wasn't for the last 12 months, but in the last, like, I don't know, maybe 2 months or something, maybe less. I feel like I could not sleep for a whole night and I still have an abundance of energy for everything I need to do. Not to brag, but just like taking the right steps and the best practices to make sure my body has what it needs to produce energy at a rate that exceeds my daily requirement. And guys, I apologize for being late. Someone else is supposed to run the call tonight. So I'm just driving and just a mix up. So I can't see any questions. If there's questions coming in, if you guys want to speak them out loud, I can.
What we're addressing was the four areas that people.
I heard you. Yeah. I just can't see anyone's comments.
So Sean said mindset. Juan said nutrition and lack of movement throughout the day.
So Sean, stop. Sean, what does that mean? Mindset. I can't see anything. So you have to unmute yourself.
He's unmuting.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. No, I think you can drive yourself into being tired by being the victim all day, creating low energy just by repeating that over and over. Yeah. It might have been something you had in the past, but now you're continuing it and it's not actually there.
So you're playing. So what you're saying is, I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying is you find yourself playing the victim sometimes.
I definitely have. Yeah. Not recently.
Yeah. Man, I get it. I mean, sometimes habitual thinking can get the best of us all. Right.
Yeah.
We all fall victims to some levels of habitual thinking at sometimes, but becoming aware of it is a great first step. So that's what you think is. So when you say your mindset is, one, maybe your biggest struggle, I just want to understand that a little more. Like, tell me what that means. What's the self-talk? What's the mindset?
So actually, I was just trying to add that in. It's not necessarily affecting me right now, but my mindset has definitely been an issue in many areas over the past few years. Just lifestyle, poor nutrition, knowing that I'm way better than that. And then the culmination, the cumulative effect of all of that.
Yeah. Here's an interesting thought I had yesterday, and just it may be relevant here, it may not be relevant, but we grow up with a community of people and a standard of living and a standard of being And many of us surpass expectations of our community, of our family, and of our tribe. And I'm curious if anyone else has experienced the thought of like maybe far exceeding what everyone else thought you would do. And then maybe that is what causes the like victim mindset. So I was reading something recently about just this idea of like, once you've exceeded what you thought you were going to accomplish, a lot of people tend to just coast, which is really interesting. I don't know if anyone has a thought on that. I have kind of a story that attaches to that, but you guys want to, if anyone has a thought around that, if you guys ever considered something like that.
I have a quick thought on that, Ben. I just joined the program on Sunday, so I'm pretty new here, but I think that, yeah, thanks. You know, that statement resonates with me a little bit in the fact that I think I'm in a situation where I've done very well. I'm far exceeding most of all my family members in terms of income. I've recently started a side business, and I feel like right now I'm suffering from imposter syndrome in terms of like, am I really worth doing? Is it really possible for me to do more than what I'm already doing? I'm already bringing in way more than my wife's. She's a teacher, and I'm now making like five times her annual salary. So, you know, that's a challenge for me. And that, so I think the energy levels and the motivation to do some of the things that I know I should be doing, particularly on the side business, so to speak, is something that I'm interested in. I don't know if thoughts on the imposter syndrome kind of fit with what you're talking about.
Dude, totally. So there's two things that immediately come to mind. One, you're playing in the wrong circles. Meaning when I first got into the online business space, online marketing space, I was talking to guys who were making 50 million a year, 10 million a month. And I was like, you're doing what? And my just completely changed my mind. I was like, and how many hours do you work a week? They're like, oh, you know, 30, 40. I was like, what are you doing? And so you start hanging around with these people, and it becomes more common. You go, okay, so I'm playing a very small game. So whatever that game is that you're playing, you're probably playing at the level that you're like the peak of your current level of capability or the current level of the people that you surround yourself with. Or maybe you're the guy who's like leading everybody around. So you got to find a way to play in a bigger circumstance, right? First thing, like change your expectations and change your standards. I think that's kind of the first point that comes to mind. Does that feel like it resonates? Like you're probably... as far as people you're starting stuff with?
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to be more intentional about who I'm hanging out with. But, you know, I set up a monthly mastermind with people that are executives at other companies that I know that are making more my income level, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars a year. Yep. But to go beyond that is where I'm looking next. And I'm, you know, your point's valid.
Yeah, man. I think there's a lot of those communities out there. And you just got to pay to play, man. Like you should be taking at least 10% of your income and reinvesting in your personal development. Some people say as much as 20% of your income. So like as all the guys in my group, I think everybody's doing, I mean, certainly everyone's over $1 million a year in revenue. And it opens up my mind, right? I have one guy who sold this company for 10 figures. One guy who was making 60 million a year, and it's just so it gets you thinking differently, man. And the thing they realize is they don't work any harder than you. They don't work any more hours than you. They just learn about leverage. So they end up buying people's hours. So you have 40 hours in a week that you work, and you pay other people for their time, and ultimately you try to pay people who are going to give you the greatest return on your investment, right? But man, you can do so much just by like again. But then I guess the other side of the equation is, what's the reason why you'd want to, right? Because some people are like, well, I want to make more money. If you don't have a clear reason, you'll never do it. You'll always just kind of keep doing the same amount of income that you're achieving, because when things get difficult, it's very easy to rationalize slowing down, stopping, or not continuing unless you're like, I can't, right? Unless you set the standard, the target, you will always just revert back to like path of least resistance. It's human nature. Yeah, so I think both of those things, man, like understand why you'd want to make more money. How would it make your life different? How would it make your children's life or your grandkids' life different? And find that thing that really drives you. Some people it's pain. Some people it's inadequacy. Some people it's just like, I just want to be the best I can. Cause I know, like, some people it's God, like God put me here to express the everything I can about this, you know, in this life. And that's, I don't know if you're religious, but whatever drives me, it doesn't matter. Right. You find that driving force.
So Ben, I would love for you to share the story. If you're going to share the sauna story.
Yeah, I could do that. So this is going to sound, just, you know, I don't want to make this sound like I'm judging or being, anyway, like judgmental or rude, but I go to the sauna every day. I go spend about an hour in the sauna every day, and I go to this public saunas where, you know, it's men, it's women. And Saturday night there was a men's group. I didn't know there was a men's group that just happened to be going at the time. And the state of the average man, and I don't know that this is the case with this group. I'm 100% confident. Is it not the state of this group? But when asked to rate themselves on a scale of 1 to 10, in all the domains of life, just give a general rating as to where you think you are right now. Physically, how you're showing up mentally, how you're showing up in your relationships, how you're showing up in your personal development and your business. The average was about 5 out of 10. Some people were 3, some people were 6.5. I think there was nobody that said they were above an 8, which is very interesting. And I'm curious how that comes to be in a man's life, where you allow, it's the standing in the pot, right? It's the frog in the pot mindset, where you just get to this level of either mindlessness or complacency, or probably both, where you don't even realize that the water is warming around you and things are just starting to go south. And one of the single most important things we can all do is start creating standards for ourselves. Start creating an awareness around, hey, this is what my body looks like. This is the lifts I can accomplish. This is what my cardiovascular condition looks like. And this is what my finances look like. And this is how I invest in my relationship. And you just create daily, weekly, and monthly standards for yourself. And never allow yourself to slip, right? I think life becomes busy. And the busier you become, the harder it is to be intentional, the harder it is to create space for new things. We're all there. However, I would hope that if any of you guys rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, anything less than a 7.5 or an 8, that you intentionally reach out for help, either with us or someone else in this area, and say, hey, I need some support on this, right? I'm not doing so well in this area. I'd love to ask for some support. And we may not have the answer, but I guarantee we have someone in our network that has the answer. So, yeah, again, no, it doesn't have to answer that question, but just a point of contemplation, because I don't think any man in this modern world should accept anything less than a 9 out of himself, or even ideally a 10. And I don't even know if that's reasonable to expect a 9 or a 10, but I would hope that none of you is accepting what is reasonable. And we always want to strive for unreasonable. Because, and I say this to my team all the time, sometimes I set very unreasonable goals. But why the fuck would you set any goals that are reasonable? It makes no sense to me. Why would I want to set a goal that I know I'm going to achieve? It doesn't make any sense. I'm going to set a goal that's going to make me so incredibly uncomfortable that I may not get it, but I know I'm going to work my ass off to get it. And if I just fall short, I'm going to be so much further than I would have otherwise been. So I encourage you, everyone, and my team will look at me like, yep. Sometimes there's some unreasonable expectations. But fuck, why not, right? Like, what's the worst that can happen? You set an unreasonable expectation, and you work, you have to stretch so far to get it because you refuse to accept anything less than winning. You know, we just fell short, but I worked so damn hard. I was very close, you know, and the next time you start building capability and confidence, right? Like, that's how you make yourself. I put myself into incredibly difficult situations all the time. I just like figure it out. I'm like, no idea how I'm gonna do it, but I'll figure it out. you know, like, and sometimes I don't sleep and sometimes I don't get it done. But like that for me has always been a useful approach, right? Way bigger goals than you believe you're capable of, or any, certainly anyone else believes you're capable of. I'll stop talking now. Anyone else have questions?
Hey, I was going to see if I can hop in on that, if you don't mind, Ben.
Of course.
I'm one of my side gigs, so I speak a lot. One of the side gigs that I have is a Gallup certified strengths coach. And so Gallup talks about the five essentials to well-being, community well-being, financial well-being, social well-being, community well-being, and physical well-being. And if their scale is a 1 to 5, and if you are 3 or below in 3 or more categories, you are on the fence or on the other side of the fence of burnout. And so how do we stop burnout and things like that? But I think a lot of, to speak to that part of like on the man side of thing, I think as stereotypically speaking, the man provides, the man gives, you know, to his wife, his kids, the household, to all these things, you know, finances and to your business and things like that, that a lot of times like moms, we give, but we don't do for ourselves. And so when I finally reflected on, let me grade myself on these, it was like career well-being was like a 4 and everything, but my physical, I was like at a 2. And I was like, okay, I need to address this, because I got to a point where I was, I think on my form, I put, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Like there's a saying that says in one of my keynote speeches that is, if you are not intentionally getting better, you might be accidentally getting worse. And so
of course
I was accidentally getting worse and had no idea, because I was constantly giving. And as a man, we should be taking care of ourselves. And so finally I was like, I just need to take care of myself, whatever it is financially, whatever it is, let me just do it. Because I was on top of the world, you know, army war veteran, and PTSD started creeping in. And I was like, I'm not going to let this eat at me. I'm not going to let this take me for my greatness. And so when we talk about energy levels and stuff like that, it started to go down. I was like, no, I teach mindset stuff. I do this stuff. So how can I do this and go get support? And I think you're never too manly enough to ask for help. And I'm glad and thankful for this community, but I try to teach everybody to get and grade yourself on those 5 areas of well-being. And if anything is even remotely close to a 3 or below, you might want to dial in, how do I get help in these areas to make myself better? And so again, thanks you for the community for helping me get my physical from a 2 now up to a 3 and pretty soon a 5.
Juan, would you mind putting those in the chat so we know what the categories were again?
Yeah, for sure. Thank
you. Yeah, I'll tell you my categories as well. I use 7 domains. But Juan, just to say, you might accidentally be getting worse. I'll say you are certainly getting worse in every area if you're not getting better. Certainly health, right? As every day that we age, the acceleration of aging is inevitable unless we're taking diligent action, right? So the things that are causing stress on our body are literally eating away at every tissue in our body unless we're taking diligent action. See, and that's not hyperbole. That's like physiological, like at a physiological level, oxidative stress in the body is literally eating away at your cells and eating away at your muscles. And unless you're supporting it, it's literally deteriorating your body. And so if you're eating poorly and you're eating a diet that's high in toxic foods or unhealthy foods, if you're stressed, oxidative stress is going to be high. And so you have to be taking necessary steps to prevent the what I call the walls closing in around you. It's inevitable, man. And so standards have to be either kept the same year to year or increased year to year. It can never be going down, right? And that's why I say whatever age you are now, you set the standard for yourself now in all these different domains. And you say, hey, I'm going to hold myself to this standard. So thanks for sharing one. That was super helpful, man. Anyone else have questions? I got like 2 more minutes before I got to jump off here, guys. But anyone else have questions?
And what were your 7 domains you said?
Hang on, let me pull them up. All right, ready? So first one's going to be health. Second one is career and finance. Third one is spiritual life, which can be either God or spirit or just a higher version of yourself, the highest version of your soul. Number 4 is relationships, which is ultimately community. Number 5 is relationship, so my partner. Number 6 is parenting. Number seven is leisure. And the way we do it is we rank it on a scale of 1 to 4. 1 is this area is harmed. 2, this area is challenged. 3, this area is sustainable. 4, this area is thriving. And so anything that's ultimately under a 3, we have to take action. And the question we ask ourselves is, what is most essential to move anything from harm to challenge or ultimately keep moving it north? What are the action items you need to start or stop doing?
Ben, what would you say to those who don't have kids? Would that be more of like self-parenting?
Well, see, this is just mine, right? So you could just remove parenting if it's not a thing for yourself and do 6. It doesn't have to be. There's no magic behind 7. You could do fitness, faith, finances, and family. Like you can do any domain. There's no magic behind the domains. It's just like, what are the areas in my life that are most important to me that I want to make sure that I'm holding up my end of the bargain and creating some reflection on either a daily or ideally a daily or at minimum a weekly basis on how am I doing in each of these domains. So we should have goals in each of those domains. We should have standards in each of those domains, and we should reflect each of those domains that are most important to us. So again, you may have something completely different, Chris. I'm not sure. I think that was Chris talking, right? Yeah.
Yes, thanks, Ben.
That's right.
I was just going to add, I think that was big, Ben, that added what to do, but what not to do, like the things that we need to take out. I think there's a lot of times that we do stuff that's harming us that we hold on to, that it's a crutch or it's something that's harmful to us and we don't want to admit it. And so taking things out is just as good as adding things or things to do.
So one thing that's been really apparent to me lately, which is super interesting, is how much certain behaviors, even though they seem unrelated to one thing, affect everything. As an example, if you're trying to win your financial life, if you're trying to win your marital life, if you're trying to win your physical health, or maybe like as an example, you just decide like, oh, you know, it's this day, I'm gonna slip up on this food, and it's not that big of a deal. It is, and I've always been one of these people who I don't like to be. So I lived a long life of obsession. You know, I was very obsessed as a bodybuilder. I was certainly neurotic about things, I would say. And I took that on as like stress. I took it on as almost like a bad character trait, even though it was something that got me to where I am. So I kind of took on this mindset after retiring that I'm just going to be chill, man. I'm just not going to make a big deal about things. Like, nothing's that big of a deal. What I start to realize is the warming of the pot, you know, it's the frog in the pot, and you let these little things go, and then you let the little things go a little more often, you're like, oh shit, I'm somewhere I don't want to be, creating a life I don't want to create. I think the people who are most successful in the world accept the fewest divergences from the ideal, right? It's they don't accept anything less than their best in all domains, that, you know, less rationalizations. And I really love the idea of like, go all in, right? I talk about this stuff all the time. Like, it's either 100% or it's 0. 99%, if your goal is success, may not be enough. Because as soon as you allow that 1% divergence, it just cracks the door. And all of a sudden, I don't know if you guys have heard me talk about this before. If you're all in, there's no doubt in your mind what you're doing. You're following the diet, you're doing the workout, you're doing the training. There's no like, If for 1 second you allow 1%, like maybe I won't do this workout, maybe I won't follow this diet, you're fucked. Your brain, as soon as you allow the like toggle between like allowing your will to come into play or your discipline or your motive, you're gonna lose. So that's what the benefit of coaching, I say, guys, is like commit 100% and just like, yeah, if it's on the, I'm just gonna do it. And if you can't commit to it, talk to coach and say, coach, it's not reasonable for me to do 3 hours of cardio a week. I don't have the time. Can we negotiate, right? Can we pull that back to 2 hours this week? I'll get the 2 hours in, and maybe next week I'll have time again to do the 3. Whatever you commit to, you commit to it. I suggest you guys all take on that mindset of communication with the coach. Whatever is there, you got to commit. Whatever you agree to on your weekly calls. Guys, I got to bounce. Can you guys take it? I gotta be somewhere right now. Sorry. Somebody can handle this.
Yep, we're
in charge. Mats, you're in charge.
Yep,
Budge, take and roll. Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you, Ben.
Talk soon. So I just wanted to share something real quick that I used to do with my clients, which is in the like goal setting realm. And so one of the things I used to do is that we would fast forward to the end of, let's say, the year. So December 31st. And we would do this exercise where it's like you put yourself in the future and the conversation is what happened. So you say by the end, you know, it's December 31st, 2023 at midnight. And I don't know, I'll use like, I lost 20 pounds. So the questions then become what happened? How'd you do it? What'd you have to let go of? And who'd you have to become? And those questions will allow you to then begin to create a possibility where maybe there wasn't one previous to that. So when you are able to reverse engineer the goals, then you say, okay, who do I have to become? Well, I just become that now. What I have to let go of, so many people, I know we were talking, Juan, you mentioned, you know, letting go of something or stop doing something, but having that awareness that I've got to let go of this friendship, or I've got to let go of the snacking late at night, you know, that kind of thing, then you're able to see what do I need to do today in order to get there. So it's just a future pacing, right? I know we've talked about that in the past, but just a different perspective on how to do that. All right. Mats, have any thoughts for us?
Not any personal ones, but it's a good time to open up the floor to anybody that is willing to share maybe any challenges that fall into this realm of context or content that we just kind of dove into. It's a safe space, so please be vulnerable and just be yourself and tell us what's on your mind. There's a lot of great brains here that can collaborate and digest what you're facing and then come up with maybe some good strategies and tactics on what to do next.
So I just wanted to share something. You guys can hear me.
Yeah.
I listen to Ben's podcast all the time. But I heard one recently where, and I can't remember the guest, I'll figure it out. He mentioned that, you know, we're talking about like this victim mentality and things like that. He said that he figured out that you can get the fuck it's in both directions. And so that really resonated with me. And I've been sticking with that as far as like commitment and just pushing through the barriers and the walls, you know, pick the other direction.
I love that.
I'm just laughing. That was awesome, man. Thanks for sharing, Sean. Yeah, for sure. You know, what's interesting is, I would be willing to bet that everybody on the call probably doesn't have a hard time committing to their workouts. So when we think about like the 10 domains of health, we think about training, nutrition, mobility, mindset, cardio, then you have sleep management, stress management, supplements, managing your libido or your sex drive or your relationships, and then lifestyle, right? I'd probably be willing to bet that you guys all look forward to the training, but it's probably also fair to say that whatever you're neglecting in that spectrum of the 10 domains is probably also your greatest lever right now. So if you're not inclined to follow through on like a pre-bed ritual or sticking to a consistent sleeping schedule, that's probably where you're missing a lot of ROI right now. So if you were to do that, think about how much leaner you would be, right? Think about how much more muscle you would have, right? So you'd get actually more ROI out of the other domains where you do enjoy doing them if you were to commit a little bit more to the ones that you're maybe neglecting. Is anybody neglecting any of the anything within the 10 there that I just listed off? If we're being honest, Sandy, what do you got? You got like a smirk cracking right away. What are you neglecting?
What's the list again? I mean, yeah, there's definitely some neglect going on. The ritualistic, the hard ones, like before I go to sleep, not looking at my phone. That was like right off the top. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that workouts are the easiest. Totally committed, like won't miss them.
Yeah, for sure. So for you, then sleep is most likely a lever that would give you tremendous ROI if we were able to tackle that for you, right? So what is
I think my sleep is good, but it's the things surrounding it, like that we talk about in here. It's like managing the stress and like I think it starts with I gotta create my domain, what's gonna be important to me, right? And then attack some of those. It's super helpful information. If I don't know what they all are, then how do I address them?
Yeah, I'll drop them in the chat as well, just in case it was hard to kind of catch them all.
They're obviously in there.
Yeah, they're in there. Someone dropped it.
Ben did, yeah.
That's a different domain. That's not the 10 domains of health.
No, oh, no. Okay. Yeah, thanks, Russell. I'll drop it in here for you guys.
Thank you.
Kind of.
Go ahead, Juan.
Kind of sticking to what we were talking to, I think what's been really helpful has been, and I'm assuming this is how everybody else is doing it on the True App Coach, the True Coach app, is that, you know, I'm getting a workout at a time instead of seeing like all these workouts. And we're not shooting for a weight necessarily, like, hey, I want you to be down to whatever 190 by the end of the week. I'm just doing my, the goal for that day. And we were talking about, Phoebe was talking about the setting goals. And so one of the things I go over with clients that I, or organizations I coach, is not being, to be set on the goal. Like, is a goal or is it the result of a goal? So people will say, oh, I want to lose 10 pounds. Well, that's the result of the goal. The goal should be to do this workout, to eat this, and just for the day. And I just love the fact that I just have this daily goal. And that's all I'm looking at. I'm looking at the food, I'm looking at the workout, and that's it. And then the next morning, like I messaged Chris this morning, I'm like, 191, like I lost 1.1 pounds, you know, yesterday. So like, it's just cool to get that. But talking about the sleep and talking about all these things, I've learned that it's not about the place, it's about the path. Like, I think a lot of times we think about the place and the destination, and it's so hard and it's so far, but if we just worry about the path, and the path is the step right in front of us, like it's so much more obtainable to say, hey, this is what it is. And then the path starts to become fun. So like Sandra was talking about, like the pre-rituals and stuff. Like, I have a rule in my house that I just started: no phone an hour when upon wake up, and no phone an hour before bed. And it's been so freeing. Like, it's like, I feel a lot more relaxed, and it's an hour. Like, what the hell's an hour? Like, just it's that easy. Sometimes it's hard, but I'm like, I'm just going to turn my phone off, put it on the other side of the room, and that's it. But I'm starting to fall in love with the path and not necessarily the place, because the place will come. It's going to be that result of from the path. The path will get us to the place.
I love that. I love that, brother. Thank you for sharing. What have you replaced that front loaded and back loaded hour with now? Because technically it's two if you're doing it on the front end, on the back end.
TV and drinking beer. No, I'm just kidding. So it's just been just intentional time with, like, so in the morning it's prepping like breakfast and getting stuff ready for lunch and dinner. And because I work from home, it's easier for me. And then it's getting my boys ready for school and things like that, because I have a family. Yeah. And then at the end of the day, it's just intentional time. It's just winding down, breaking down what tomorrow's going to look like. Sometimes it is reading, not as much as it maybe it should be. But it's just intentional time with kids or intentional time with my wife.
I love that.
So I want to build on that a little bit, because one thing that I heard in that, right, it's not the place, it's the path. And I think it's actually the person, right? It's like the person on the path to the place. Mots knows my affinity for alliteration, but I feel that it's the person you become in the process, or the person you decide to be right now, that's going to actually be on the path, right? So as opposed to like, I do this goal, or, you know, I fulfill all my goal because I do this action. It's I'm the type of person who wakes up early to pack lunches for my kids, right? I'm the kind of person who, you know, has a pre-bed ritual. And I think that then becomes your identity. And when you have an identity and you're so committed to that identity, then the actions become easy. Yeah.
I love it. I shared this framework with somebody the other day, but, you know, everybody here on this call, we all will inevitably die one day. So let's all fast forward to the moment where you're on your deathbed. Imagine getting a report that day when you're on your deathbed that tells you how much screen time you spent in your life on your phone or watching, you know, entertainment or movies. Do you guys believe that you would be at this point, you know, if you could fast forward to that moment, do you believe that you would be pretty disappointed or frustrated with that report? Right? It's really great framework, because if the answer is yes to that, if you anticipate that you will be, and that you would have rather spent that time investing in your health or into your relationships, into your family, then why not just do that now? It's like really good framework.
Yeah, I love that your phones give us the weekly report now. And you're like, oh, I'm up, I'm down. It's interesting to think of all the things. I love, Juan, when you're saying, like, what are you replacing it with? Like, I think it's so much easier to change a behavior when you're able to, you know, I know Atomic Habits, James Clear talks about that, right? It's like, how do you replace it with something that is going to bring you to your goal, right? It's so much easier.
Absolutely. I shared the 10 domains there in the chat. We got about 10 minutes left and we got a couple coaches on the call. So is anybody struggling within any of the domains? Obviously today's call has been pretty mindset dominant for the most part. But is there anything, you know, there that anybody is struggling with right now where you feel it might be a great lever to pull for you? Bless you, Chris.
I got two, Vanessa, but I think one of them I kind of changed, kind of alter, because it's a little different because of my mental health. So sleep and mental health management, basically, instead of stress management, because I get spurts of, you would say, dopamines because of my, it could be my bipolar or my ADHD. And so I'm on a high and that stuff. And so it comes and goes and that stuff. And I'm kind of sense it, and it feels like even my facial structure is part of it too. It's like, why it's when I'm being a smile mode, you know? I'm like, it's weird, because like, it feels like with my brain, it's like my brain, it's like part of my brain and part of my like facial structure is connected, but the cognitive part is not. So I'm like, why am I going through these type of things? And so it's kind of like, yeah, mental health management is like, for me, is like one difficult thing, and trying to keep myself in a, I think, more calm state versus a hyper state, or what was it?
Sympathetic state.
Yeah. Or sympathetic state, yeah.
Dom, have you ever experienced or kind of learned or developed over time any tactics to, like, in those moments, be able to refocus a little bit quicker? Is there anything that you've kind of developed over time through that?
No, I'm currently learning. It's like, it's kind of like the little kid in me. I'm like, okay, kind of let him go play.
I'm with you, brother. No, go ahead.
Yeah, that's basically it. I just let him go play, and just like when he calms down, I was like, okay, no. But I never really learned to, because sometimes it's like late at night and he decided to want to have fun and that stuff. And then it's like trying to calm myself down real fast is kind of hard, you know?
For sure. There was something earlier. I was going to bring it up earlier, but I wanted to make sure that people were able to ask their questions. But I made a post in the Facebook group last week talking about stress. And if you guys aren't in the Facebook group, I would get in the Facebook group. But it was a podcast on the Whoop podcast. So I would definitely recommend go and listen to it. Or if you're in the Facebook group, you'll be able to see, I put it at the bottom of that message there. And it talks about the different types of stress and a lot of this whole conversation and continuing coaching. And one of the ways that I think about being as supportive for a client as possible, right, is across even those 10 domains that Moth shared, there's largely, we can assume for most people, training is an easy lever for people to show up and follow through with training, right? But of these life skills and everything else, it takes different levels of effort based on whatever the specific task is, right? So it could be as simple as any variety of clients. If I told them it was a non-negotiable that they need to weigh and track every gram of their macros, there's going to be a spectrum of people where they get either extremely overwhelmed and we're not managing stress in that moment, and people that are very much type A that like to have it down to the T, right? So if you guys are good with it real quick, I'll share. I don't have it memorized, so I'll read from my phone here, but I think it'll be a good refresher to, again, the podcast was on the Woot podcast. It's maybe 5 to 8 episodes down. There we go. Phoebe put the link in the chat there. Great. But I believe she's a behavioral psychologist. Her name is Dr. Gemma King. She's out of Australia. She works with Australia Special Forces. And again, I highly recommend the podcast. So she mentions 6 types of stress, and these are her definitions. But the first one is physiological stress. So that could be, you know, -1, 0, or +1, like training and exercise, overtraining, or not moving at all. So movement and exercise. Okay. Second one would be emotional stress. So social connection, community, feeling lonely. Sensory stress is the third one. So phone, emails, light, noise, kids sometimes, right? Your surroundings. Mental stress, which she elaborates a little bit, but she talks about simply just things that are cognitively draining. Desire stress, which she shares as comparison to others. So if I'm trying to compare myself to Ronnie Coleman and I'm wanting to put on muscle, I'm digging myself a hole there. Or denying yourself things. I thought that was interesting. So like extended periods of like saving money to the nth degree, like that's just one example she shares. And then the last one was higher consciousness, which she explains as living outside of your purpose and your values. So you intentionally maybe know that you're coloring outside the lines, and you're maybe choosing to focus on that. So those were the 6 there. She also, Juan, she also, towards the end of that podcast, she mentioned working with the special forces and tactics around PTSD. She said, sorry, my phone closed. Three key things to focus on when stopping PTSD: for them to be intellectually stimulated, socially connected, and physically active. If you're able to hit those 3 things, you're in a better place, right? So again, just to recap the 6 there: physiological stress, emotional stress, sensory stress, mental stress, desired stress, and higher consciousness stress.
Love that. Thank you for sharing, Andrew. Anybody have any questions on that before we wrap up? Is anybody guilty of stressing within any of those realms? I feel like desire stress is like common. Comparing ourselves to others, or looking at what others have that we don't, and then stressing about how we're going to get it. It's like the pursuit of never-ending status.
Dude, I'm the natural worrier with my kids. Like that's mentally draining for myself. So it's like, obviously I want to be attentive and a good father, and, you know, for sure. Mm-hmm.
What I said back earlier, I was speaking to another parent about the screen time thing, right? So if you fast forward to your deathbed, and you're there and you get this report that's like, you spent X amount of years on your social media or your cell phone or watching movies, like what would you give in that moment to get that time back and to reinvest it into your kids? I'd probably give like all of my money, all of it, millions. But yeah, anybody have any questions there within those 6 categories that Andrew shared?
I don't have any questions, but I just wanted to add per Phoebe, am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah.
Phoebe share and what Ben has said in the past, which is essentially just acting as if, right? So how often can you think and reflect and check back in as to whether you are executing on intentions and actions that your future version of yourself would be sticking to and taking advantage of on a regular basis. I don't know, for me, that's made like a world of a difference in the gym, in my relationship with my wife, showing up as a father, all the things, owning a business, like just what would that version 2030 version of Chris do in this situation? How would he respond? What time does he go to bed? And it's allowed me to just show up a little bit better. I've noticed, you know, look at this from like, how can we simplify this process as much as possible? With that being said, you know, we still struggle. I still struggle here and there in those areas, but just wanted to share how, not necessarily freeing, but just less labor intensive the process of moving forward and bettering myself has been with applying that logic.
I love it. I just wanted to respond to that quickly. I feel like it just removes so much thinking and thought process and wasted energy when you're like, nope, this is just what I do. It's the Steve Jobs black t-shirt, right? It's like, you just remove all options because this is your commitment. This is what you said you're going to do. This is who you are. So no longer are you waffling back and forth, or do you have to waste any amount of energy on, do I get up and go to the gym or not? It's not even a thought, right? So I think from like an efficiency standpoint, it's way, you know, I look at that all the time.
Yeah. And there might be some work in the beginning, right? Like we got to be super clear on how Mods, how Phoebe, how whomever, like what are they doing? So maybe it's spending, it might take 30 minutes, 20 minutes to write that stuff out. And, you know, there might be some work in the beginning, but at least when you're doing that work later on, you know where to go to remind yourself as to like what books they're reading, how much money they're spending, how much they have in retirement, whatever. You know where to go, which is pretty badass. So maybe a little bit of work in the beginning, but it's nothing. If you're here, like you're not afraid of work anymore. So. Mm-hmm.
Hashtag facts. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing, Chris. And, you know, obviously I only get a glimpse of what your life is like through your social media, but it does seem like you are really enjoying fatherhood. So it seems like you are implementing all of these formulas and frameworks into your life, which is great to see, because genuine happiness shines and it shows. So good on you, brother. Good on you. All right, guys, we're going to wrap here. I have one quick ask of everybody. So in the chat today, I dropped 10 domains of health. If you guys could just write those down. And if you'd like to, you can email me. Phoebe will drop my email in the chat for you guys. Email me your top one or two that you would like to see more content on, or maybe your top one or two that you would like to have Ben present on more often on the Wednesday night calls. Those are the 10 domains. Now, there are other hot topics, you know, hot buttons in the industry like TRT or longevity metrics, and so on and so forth. So if there is something else that's not within the realm of those 10, then email that to me as well, because we're always looking to add as much value to you guys on these calls. And there's just so many things within this realm of health and fitness. So we try to tackle as much as we can. But what's most important is what you guys want to learn about, what you guys want to dive into. So please email it over and I'll share it with Ben and our team. And then we'll start going through those topics on the weekly calls. Appreciate your time, guys. Hope everybody has a great evening.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.